14.
Esto fue el show de Leo Ramírez. Hasta la próxima.
Estás escuchando el show de Leo Ramírez.
Estás escuchando el show de Leo Ramírez.
Content warning.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Over a hill and under a misty mountain, deep within the unceded Musqueam territory of Vancouver, British Columbia, I'm Doug Vandelay with another episode of Comedy Zeitgeist. You can follow the show on Twitter at Comedy Zeitgeist and pester me at Doug Vandelay. Hello to everybody listening on CITR 101.9 here for the first 30 minutes of the show. The previous occupier of this CITR time slot, I'm joined by Finding the Funny host, Nico McEwen. How's it going, Nico?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Did I say your surname right? I realize I've never said it
out
loud.
You did actually, yeah.
McEwen. Well done. Right, cool. So we met when I started sending you my early comedy interviews before this show was around for Discorder magazine.
Yeah.
When you were host of Finding the Funny.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell the listeners about that show?
I was really glad Finding the Funny all started how it did. I basically started it, I think, 2 years ago. I was at UBC, and I knew I had wanted to get involved with the radio station. So when I was signing up for the radio station, there was like a form where you filled in what were your interests, and my main interests were sports and comedy. And so I tried one of the sports broadcasting, and that was really cool. But I knew I wanted to create my own comedy show, and they had a bunch of requirements for how to create a show. So I spent maybe like 2-3 weeks just creating the first episode. But it was a ton of fun, and they liked it. So then I got to keep going with it and just talk about comedy every week. It was good.
I remember you telling me you used to do stand-up in Vancouver.
Yeah. I got to do stand-up also about 3 years ago. That is when I started. A friend of mine had done stand-up comedy at a workout room called Kino Cafe. They have stand-up every Tuesday night. And so I went up one night, and the owner's really nice. And basically before the show, they're like, just so you know, this is a workout room, so you'll have some new comics. You'll have some comics trying out new stuff. And that was a really good way to start off with stand-up, just because it took a lot of the pressure off. And I still try to go back to Kino every now and then, but I've taken a break from stand-up the past year or so, just while I'm continuing pursuing writing and other arts. But I actually honestly might be going to Yuck Yucks to try to do open mic.
Tonight?
Yeah, tonight. Oh, just because cool. I have some stuff that I've been wanting to try, and it's been a while, so I figured I'm coming to talk about comedy, maybe I should do some after.
Well, I'm glad I could have had a part in that. So you're also a sports announcer.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sport to announce?
Definitely basketball. I've loved basketball basically my entire life. I first started announcing basketball at UBC about 4 years ago, and now I'm the full-time announcer. I get to do all the hype work as well as the in-game announcing, and that's been really cool. That actually led to last year, I announced for the Toronto Raptors, which was absolutely amazing. It was their preseason game at UVic, sold out crowd. That was a very, very cool experience. So sports announcing has brought me a lot of very cool experiences. Got to announce a swim meet with some international Olympians. I got to announce for the Vancouver Whitecaps FC2. So no, it's been really good.
This Saturday, so when you're listening to this, it will have been last Saturday, is the ECCW Ballroom Brawl. Have you ever announced any wrestling?
I have not announced any wrestling. It would be a ton of fun. I remember watching wrestling a long, long time ago when I was a kid, but I have not announced any, definitely.
Yeah, that's something that I've always wanted to do, is announcing a bit of wrestling. I don't know enough of the moves, but...
Yeah, I guess the terminology, I wouldn't be able to keep up with that, but the excitement of it all, that would be fun.
How much do you need to know about the sport to be able to announce it?
That's a good question. This past year, I announced baseball for the first time. I don't know. It's tough because I was pretty fortunate. Growing up, I played pretty much every sport, so I had a bit of a background. So I've announced every sport there is at UBC, and I'd say it definitely helps to have a background knowledge, especially because depending on which sport you're announcing, sometimes they'll get you to do other aspects of the job as well. Technically for hockey, no, is it hockey? Oh, shoot, which sport? There's one sport where you're actually technically partially an official. Oh, that's for swimming. Swimming I didn't know anything about, and I've now announced 5 swim meets, and that one is really tough because it's all very fast, and they really like it if you know their terminology. So that was a lot more research. So it definitely helps, definitely helps.
So what do you talk about when you don't know about it? Do they expect you to be like a horse racing announcer where they just...
For swimming, yeah, I didn't realize what swimming was like for announcers, but yeah, they want you to speak fast, say every name, and then make it really, really exciting. So it's honestly been one of my favorite sports to announce as I've gotten to learn it, but at the start it was quite stressful because I pretty much just say the same thing, and now 25 meters left, and now 15 meters left, and now we have a winner, and they're like, say something else.
Does that work for that all season? Like, I mean, all year?
There's basically, I think, 2 or 3 big swim meets at UBC every year, and I've been doing it for 2 years, so, yeah, they don't really have consistent swim meets, just kind of once every while.
So when you announce for the Toronto Raptors, is that, leading to any other major league stuff?
Fingers crossed, that would be pretty cool. It depends. I'm still trying to figure out how much further I want to go with announcing. I know I definitely want to continue it, but as I'm pursuing acting and pursuing writing, I have to make sure I balance out the consistency of all my announcing work. So I already have my soccer season set up at UBC, and I'll be graduating from UBC in December, so then I'll probably start taking a bit of a step back from all the UBC announcing that I do, and then that would lead to either I start pursuing major league sports and professional sports, or if acting and writing are going certain ways, then I might have some time off from announcing.
Which of the three do you think you'd want to take off most of all?
Definitely acting is my first love and first priority, and then writing and announcing are pretty tied in second there. They've both given me a lot of very cool experiences, and I definitely get a thrill out of both of them.
Do you do mostly comedy writing?
Mostly, yeah. I think I'm actually a pretty good writer when it comes to drama. Definitely not a good writer when it comes to horror. But yeah, most of my writing is comedy.
Do you say that from experience that you're not good at writing horror?
I've tried. I've tried writing horror. I try every genre because I think it's a good thing to test out. And definitely comedy has been the one that I find the simplest. Horror is the one that, if I were to ever do a horror film, it would probably turn into a spoof. Let's just say that.
Right.
Because I just find it funny.
So when you say writing, it's screenwriting?
Screenwriting, yeah. Film, television. I've written maybe 5 short films in the past 2 years. None produced yet, but all very exciting. I wrote a play that went up on Granville Island. That was very cool as part of the Brave New Playwrights Festival. And that was a comedy. And I've written a few TV pilots. That was more for school. Obviously, it'd be very cool if that got picked up at some point.
Did that play on Granville Island, has that performed yet?
Yeah, it was amazing. That was back in, I think it was March. I think March is when the festival happened. Truly an absolutely amazing experience. So fortunate I got to be a part of it. Only a select number of us got chosen to be produced, and I got to be one of the ones that had the full production value. So we hired 2 actors, and we had a director, and they crushed it. The performance value was just so good.
What can you tell me about the play?
So it's a short play. It started off, they gave us the kind of requirements for the festival, less props, less people is the best, maybe do a fun costume. So I started thinking with that, and I thought, well, I think superheroes obviously have fun costumes, so I started going that route, and I thought it'd be interesting to have a superhero on a blank page, like essentially their comic book had stopped being drawn, and they were kind of in superhero purgatory, and then that kind of started to escalate. It originally was 2 superheroes, a man and a woman. He was very stuck in the past, and she was very progressive, and it ended up being a couple, just because that was a bit stronger for the emotional appeal. So he's been a superhero his whole life, and she's been a superhero housewife, and now they've stopped being drawn, and that's when the play essentially starts, is when the lights come up, and they're like, where are we? This is just blank space, and all of a sudden, she starts really enjoying the fact that she's not being written for, and this freedom starts to bring about different sides of her that just show off how amazing she truly is, and so it kind of just progressed into a story about that. It was very cool.
Do you think you're going to go anywhere with that, maybe turn it into a pilot or something?
That, I think, yeah, I have a feeling that'll probably stay with me just because I've gotten really strong feedback about that. And it's it seems to be something that people are interested in right now in regards to the story and the comedic value of it all. So I've definitely going to continue with that. I probably should have submitted it for the Fringe Festival this past year. Wasn't able to get it together, but it'll probably enter Fringe next year. And yeah, whether it turns into a film or a TV pilot, that'd be very cool, but not in the works necessarily right now.
What's that called if people want to stay in the loop?
It's The Blank Page.
The Blank Page?
Yeah, that's the title.
So you've been appearing on screen since I read you were 10 months old.
Yeah.
What's it like being a child actor?
Honestly, this is such a good question because literally today I was just kind of analyzing my history as a child actor and how it affected me. It's been amazing. I started in baby commercials in the past little while. I've been trying to make demo reel, not necessarily demo reel, but just a collection of all my old tapes, because when I first started, it was literally VHS, so I have to now convert it over to movie format so I can have it on my computer. So that's been so weird watching those, but definitely very good experiences, child acting. Obviously, a lot of rejection in the business, but I was fortunate to have a good support group. So when I was 6, I started film and television and booked a series really early on. I got to film in 5 months in Victoria.
Terminal City?
That was Terminal City, yeah. So that was probably the longest thing I've ever done, and maybe the biggest, depending on how you gauge that. And that was truly like such an eye-opening experience because it was a really, really deep, complex show, and I'm really glad I got to be a part of it. And after that, it led to more and more work, and the writer actually told me, if you like acting, you got to do theater. So then I performed at Arts Club Theater for 3 winters after that, and that was an amazing experience. So just kind of crazy all the things that that snowballed in that time in my life, and it was really fortunate.
Did it affect like regular schooling and things?
I always laugh because honestly, I was always ahead of the class because private tutoring on set is just so much more efficient because it's one-on-one. So we'd just be flying through coursework because when you're child acting, they make sure you have a certain numbers of hours per day that you're with a tutor on set. So no, I never really fell behind, which is really cool. I found tutoring really fun on set. I liked it.
So I haven't seen Terminal City. Is that a Canadian thing?
So it was on Movie Central or HBO or something. I think it was Movie Central. And that was, oh my gosh, probably 13 years ago. No, 12 years ago. So yeah, it was produced here. It was a Canadian show. I think the writer even went to UBC. I think it ended up going overseas to Europe for a little while because when it didn't get picked up here, they put it over there to see if it get picked up elsewhere, but never ended up getting more than one season.
So I remember watching your episode of Supernatural that you were on.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like being part of a canon with such a devoted fan base?
That's so crazy. That's the thing, is it's been so long since I did this work, and I've been doing a lot of cool things since, but it's crazy when you're on something like Supernatural, just like the constant... Like, I wouldn't say I'm a celebrity in any way, but I've definitely, like, received the messages from all the Supernatural fans being like, oh my gosh, what's it like to know Jensen and Jared? Which is very cool. I'm very fortunate. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting. The amount of times I've just been meeting new people in whatever circumstance it is, and they've been like, if acting comes up, you don't usually bring it up right away, but if it comes up and I mention Supernatural, I've yet to find very many non-Supernatural fans. There's a lot of people that love that show, so it's been very cool.
Do you know... What are their names? Jensen and Jared,
yeah. That was one thing that was so cool to me was I was on the show for the first time when I was 8 or 9, and then after that you can't really be on it again for a while because continuity, you're one character. But then I guess when that time period had gone over, Jensen was directing, I think it was his first or second episode that he was ever directing, and he literally called my agent because he remembered me, which I thought was absolutely amazing, and I booked the role.
Of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
I still can't believe that. I was like, wow, what a good guy.
That show's still going, isn't it?
I think it is. Probably like season 12 or something. I don't know.
I really liked the first season of that show when it was more like a Monster of the Week sort of thing.
Yeah, it definitely changed a lot, which I think happens probably organically, but it's pretty cool. It was definitely a different show in the first season.
I had a feeling like the writers never wanted it to go on this long.
I don't know if anyone intended
this long.
Following the money at this point.
It
just kept going, yeah. Well, and that's the thing I think that's worked out so well, is if they had kept the same format, I think people would have found it stale. Not only the fans, but actually the production team and the cast. But they even started doing some, like, I think they brought in, like, some meta aspects where the characters are celebrities within the show or something like that, or there are monster hunters within the show, so it kind of became, they definitely adapted a lot more comedy later on, which I think is really fun for the actors, and they started expanding into these ways. They did a Scooby-Doo animated episode, so as long as they keep it fresh, I'm sure the production team and the cast are going to want to keep going, because it seems fun.
I remember they did that thing where they sort of both looked at the camera, addressing all the people who ship the brothers together.
Yeah, yeah.
On Tumblr. Tell me about your experience in Night at the Museum.
Night at the Museum was another really cool experience. I only filmed, I think, 2 days on set. It was a smaller role as, like, Ben Stiller's son's character's friend. That was actually another funny casting story. I originally actually booked the character of Ben Stiller's son. It was a few weeks before... No. Probably, I didn't get to wardrobe fitting phase, but I had booked it. I had definitely booked it. And then they ended up going with an American, but they just threw me in this other role because they knew they wanted me in. So that was very cool too. I was just happy to be a part of it and doing that. And it's crazy. I still run into one of the actors I worked with every now and then. I'm like, wow, good to see you. And then obviously all the celebrities on set was a very new experience at the time. And that was very cool. So,
did you meet Ben Stiller?
I will be completely honest on your show. I have told friends that I met Ben Stiller. I did not meet Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller was sick the 2 days that I was filming. I think it was the director or somebody was doing his lines while I was doing my scene, because obviously they just cut it and splice it back together after the fact when he is able to do that scene. So no, alas, I did not meet Ben Stiller.
Oh, well, thanks for being candid.
Yeah, I usually don't want to say it because it would have been pretty cool, but I did get to meet Ricky Gervais, which was very cool, and see him, so super, super cool.
He's a bigger deal in a lot of ways.
I think he's amazing, like, especially for comedy purposes. I mean, Ben Stiller's done a lot for comedy too, but Ricky Gervais is very, very cool. So,
well, like, Ben Stiller was born into it anyway with Jerry Stiller and Frank Costanza there. If we go back to announcing, I remember you did your announcer voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Around when we first met.
It's been really cool, and I'm actually starting to get into voice work because of it, because basically every time I'm announcing somebody's like, wow, what a voice. And I'll do the bit of the backstory. I was shadowing the Vancouver Canadiens announcer, and this man naturally has the most amazing voice. So I asked him, like, for somebody with a bit more of a normal voice, like, what should I do when announcing? And he's like, oh, like, don't ever do a fake voice. So when I went to kind of do the audition for UBC's announcing role, I got nervous. And so this just kind of came out. She said, say blah, blah, blah. And this is what I said.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Thunderbird Stadium.
And now that's my announcing voice.
So do you have to do that all the time?
All the time.
And then people meet you afterwards and get a bit surprised?
Then they're like, what's wrong with your voice? No, I only do that, and I've toned it down a lot. I only do that for in-game announcing. So a lot of the work that I also do is the hype stuff. So that's like the crowd engagement on the court with a wireless mic. And for that, I do more of a regular voice, just because that would be a lot to have to improvise everything while doing my character voice, whereas within game announcing it's a little bit more controlled, so I just stick with it.
So you say you're getting into doing some voice work as well?
Yeah, hopefully that keeps taking off. I'm working on a voiceover demo reel. I've done a few voiceover auditions, which is really cool. Got to do a role where I was pretending to be British. That was a really fun audition. I've always, like, really, really loved animation, like watching and just like the whole production aspect of it, so I think it'd be very cool to start doing voiceover work, so fingers crossed that kind of takes off. It was really funny, the first time I announced soccer at UBC, that was the first professional announcing I did, and my mom came to pick me up, and I got in the car, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, what? She's like, I heard there was some man doing the announcing, they didn't want you to do it, what happened? I was like, mom, that was me. That's my voice. She's like, that's not your voice. I'm like, that's my announcing voice.
Have you ever done, like, a third voice announcing? Like a Halloween Spooktacular voice or something?
No. I'm trying to think if I've done... Because I do, with, like, comedy and whatnot, I do different characters, whether it be like improv or just for fun with friends. So I have one character who's like Wacky Willie, a radio guy, and I'm trying to think if I've ever used him in announcing. Maybe once or twice, but no, not really.
So it's sort of like a morning zoo, kind of?
Yeah, it's kind of like the, hey there, everybody, you're listening to Wacky Willie coming to you live from the music show with the radio guy.
That's great. You should consider, I think, maybe doing a CITR show as that guy.
I honestly did. I really did. So, okay, so that character first came, I was in high school, and I was trying out, all of us had to try out for the morning announcements, and I decided to make 5 different characters for my morning announcements. I had Wacky Willie, I had, like, British Tom, I had Joe Schmo. And so I made this poster of all these things, and in the audition, I did all these voices, and I got elected to be our school's communications director, so that was very cool. And everyone's like, are you going to stick with it? And that's every morning, the most boring announcements, so I did not end up sticking with it for that point. But the characters have definitely stuck with me.
Well, you know I'm going to ask you to do the other characters now, right?
Honestly, I don't really remember them. Joe Schmo was my regular voice. He was like the, I guess, main host. And then British Tom was just, I think... he talked about sports. Oh my gosh, I haven't done British Tom in a while. Hello there, everybody. We're coming to you live from the McGee Secondary Soccer School. And I go in and out.
BBC foreign correspondent.
Yeah, exactly. One of those kinds of things. So,
like live from Baghdad.
Yeah, exactly.
BBC Radio 1.
So,
do you do any celebrity impressions?
I think I do. I've tried to do a bunch of them just because I think it's a fun thing to try. I think anyone interested in comedy, if you're listening to this, definitely try doing impressions because it's super funny to try. I don't think everyone can do them, and I hope that I'm about to do one right now and it'll be good. So I've done Barack, which is like, let me be clear, my fellow Americans. So that one is like, okay, I don't quite have his depth. I like to do Christopher Walken just because of like the, you know, you come in and you do what you do. I don't know what to say. And so I kind of like to do that one. Yeah, no, I definitely do more. I remember I did I'm Paul McCartney, part of the Beatles, very happy to be here. I did one of that one for a while. In one of my auditions, actually, they were basically just like, just belt out a bunch of impressions. So I think I did like 10 for that audition. That was pretty cool. Honestly, I don't remember a lot of them off the top of my head. For the longest time, I wanted to do a Justin Bieber impression because it would be super like relevant. And I thought it was like a good way to like do like a first like YouTube impression video. But I just can't do
it. It's so difficult.
I can't do it. I don't know. Kate McKinnon on SNL does such an amazing job.
I haven't seen that one.
She's so good. She's what a talented person.
I've seen Kate McKinnon, just not the Justin Bieber impression.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Nassim Pedrad's Aziz Ansari impression?
No, does she do a good Aziz?
Yeah, it's like spot on.
Oh, that's so funny. I hadn't seen Nassim since she was on SNL, and then she came back. They did a spoof of that Wild Wild Country Netflix documentary, and she was on SNL again. And I was like, oh my gosh. But I don't even know what she's been up to, but I guess she's doing impressions of Aziz, right?
Talia actually does a pretty good bug one.
Yeah?
Are you going to do it? Should I cut out that I said that?
Bug one's just sitting in silence.
You do it all the time.
Just saying the bug one.
That is a good impression. Honestly, that is good.
Have you watched that one, The Wild Wild Country?
Yeah. I've seen 2 episodes now. Honestly, I was shocked. I really thought I'd be annoyed with it, but they do a pretty good job of making it interesting.
There's some twists and turns.
Yeah.
Really.
Wow, that production team really like they executed that really well because it's an enticing show. I'm like, it's just crazy. Like you can't believe that was all real and like. Yeah, like you said, they surprise you with certain things. You're like, oh, what? So
yeah, when you learn more about the bug one later, I think you should stick with it.
Stick with it?
Get to the end.
Okay.
As well. I've never met someone that can do a Homer Simpson impression.
Oh, no, I've never tried. I should try Simpson's impressions just because Hank Azaria is, I think, such a good voice actor. No, I didn't really watch The Simpsons growing up. In all honesty, I don't know how I missed that because I'm definitely within the timeline that I should be a big fan, but... No, I never really, I think if I'd watched it, maybe I would have started practicing Homer more. I know that Homer goes like, don't, or whatever,
yeah.
I can't
it's really so
do.
Hard to do, though. It's one of those things, it's like, it's very rare that someone can do a non-exasperated Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah, no, you can't do like a particularly accurate. You have to do like the styled version.
Fallon can do it.
He can. And even when Fallon and Seinfeld, the last time I saw them together, Jimmy said that the first time they did it, Jerry actually made his voice closer to what Jimmy does, but Jimmy's already like quite accurate with his Seinfeld impression, so it's pretty impressive.
And is Neil Young as well? Have you seen when he does Neil Young singing Fresh Prince theme song?
So good! Oh my gosh, I'm a big Jimmy Fallon fan. I just think it's so cool that he started like kind of doing stand up, but his stand up was actually just doing impressions, and then that led to like him winning an impression contest, and then before you know it, he's on SNL just belting out impressions. So, and he loves to do musical impressions. That's something I think would be very cool if I can learn to do that at some point. I can kind of play bass guitar, but no, I'm definitely not in the wheelhouse of musical impressions yet.
Maybe you could just do like a karaoke backing track sort of thing.
Yeah. I've tried musical impressions because I'm a huge Eminem fan, and I tried to do an Eminem impression because who was it? Oh, there was an SNL alum that did an Eminem impression. Was it Taron Killam? Might have been him. But no, musical impressions just don't seem to be something I can do. Maybe it's because I don't have any rhythm. I don't know.
I'm sure you'll get there. What are you going to be doing at your open mic tonight?
So honestly, just because, yeah, like I said, it's been so long. And the only reason why the joke, like the first joke I ever told in stand-up, it's like still the one anytime somebody says, tell me a joke, I do this joke. And I don't know, I just can't believe how consistently it gets a laugh. So I'm going to do that again tonight just because I think it's a good way to ease back into it and play it safe as opposed to trying something new. But hopefully, if tonight goes as according to plan, then I'll start doing it again more. I'm here for the rest of the summer, so I definitely have some time that I can start getting back into stand-up.
Where are you heading to after the summer?
Well, no, after the summer, I'll just be back in school at UBC in the creative writing program. The announcing season's all start, so I'll still be trying to get stuff done then, but it's a busy time, September to December.
Do you ever do any improv?
Yeah, I love improv. I should be doing a lot more considering how much I love it. I was big into improv in high school. Done a bit of improv at UBC, but not really. I definitely want to get back into it, though. I emailed Vancouver Theatre Sports. I was like, I just missed your deadline to do your summer course. Is there any way? And they're like, no, like we're already full. And I was like, damn it. So I might do Vancouver Theatre Sports classes at some time this fall.
I think the Blind Tiger classes currently open.
Are they open? Maybe I should do that.
Either that or the October season. They either just started or they're about to start.
Okay.
Blind Tiger. And then there's Instant Theatre as well. We have a fair amount of Blind Tiger people on this show.
Oh, yeah?
As well. It's pretty much the Blind Tiger show.
Well, maybe I'll end up at Blind Tiger, and then that's another one for the books.
For anyone on CITR, thanks so much for tuning in. That's the end of our time slot, but you can hear the full episode along with other podcasts on cavegoblins.com. For anyone else, stick around. We've still got lots more to talk about with Nico. I want to be a good man, Mama, when I travel. Can I stand the lure of the beautiful? If the tide of your heart does turn in the middle of the night, you're under a gibbous moon in the shadow. In the shallows, we knew those blossoms of cherry when the family was young. They were times of plenty from the old country we'd come. If the tides of the family do turn in the middle of the night, you're under a moon, the sky in the fallows. In the fallows. Oh, the cuckoo did cry from sea to shining sea. You ain't never seen a more lonesome bird than me. If the tides of the wind do turn in the middle of the flight, you're in for a full moon storm in the shadows. In the shadows.